Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, one of your hosts, and man, I've got to say, I'm a little out of breath. Elliot, why don't you take the rest of the intro from here?
I will, Vince. You were so close to finishing it. I'm out of breath, too, because first of all, the town we're in, but also we are celebrating our landmark 75th episode. And we thought, listeners, to celebrate the amount of ground we've covered, we'd go to a town that's covered some ground of its own.
I think I pull a hammy. My hammy. I'm the hammy again.
Just here, I can massage your hammies for you as we continue recording.
You're a good brother.
It's reminding me a lot, though, about our great-great-grandfather, Rand, and his run across and around the country. Listeners, he was in, let's say, a fair amount of debt when he started his almanac and map-making business, and he decided to literally run away from his debtors and creditors. For some reason, that you know, the horse and buggy had already been invented, he decided to run instead. You may have seen the biopic based on it, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that was a straight plagiarization of his life, and also where the phrase, you can run, but you can't hide, came from. I know it's used often to make a situation sound hopeless, but at the time it was quite literal. You can run. You can run, but you can't hide, but you could run if you wanted to run.
And it already seems like we're not able to hide from an incredible episode, Vince.
I think we ought to just put this place on the map.
Let's do it. So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative 75th anniversary episode push pins if you ordered ahead, and get ready to stick a pin in Seoul, West Virginia. Seoul is home to a diehard running community, you guys, and it's also home to an ultra marathon that has been progressing for years. And I'm not talking about multiple iterations of this marathon. I'm talking about the same marathon has been hosted here for years. And to help us put this town on the map is a guy who is running in place as we speak to him, the longest runner of this ultra marathon. Can you introduce yourself?
Sure, guys, right away. The name is Jared Hempson, and fun fact, I heard you guys talk about Forrest Gump, and that's my second favorite movie, only to Running Man, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How can we forget that?
I mean, a great choice. Two classic films. Well, you seem like you've got places to go, so we won't keep you. Could you go ahead and put the pin in Seoul, West Virginia for us?
Absolutely.
And can you also explain to us your background, how you got into running in the first place?
Well, this is actually a great story. I was 10 years old, and my mom, God rest her soul, sent me to the store to get some milk, as you do. And I was going to the store, and all of a sudden, old Mr. Johnson's dog came running after me. And I had two choices. One, lay down and die, or two, run. I chose the second.
So allow me to maybe try to clarify. Did that inspire you to start various running feats and hobbies, or was that literally when you started running in the marathon and you've been running since?
That's a great question. Turns out that was the day the marathon started, and I just went ahead of everybody else because I'm really fast too. I don't know if they told you that, but I'm actually also the fastest runner.
And humble.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So I just never stopped. I just never stopped, and I don't plan on it.
You started when you were 10 years old. How old are you now? How long has this marathon been going on?
Well, guys, you're not going to believe this, but this marathon has been going on for 20 years. 20 years.
What mile are you at now?
Oh, my goodness. So here's the secret to my success. I don't keep track. I just run. You want to know what? I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop. If I knew the number, I would stop. People try to tell me the number, and you know what I do? I slap them. I slap them in the face real quick.
I mean, your dedication to this mantra is really impressive. Your bib doesn't even have a number on it. It has some sort of indiscernible symbol.
I actually came up with that symbol. It's the Egyptian sign for a scorpion.
Cool. Super cool. That's actually...
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
Thank
pretty you. Neat. I was already ready to be impressed about the runners in this town, and specifically you, but 20 years is no short time to be running. Where do you find time to live your life and do things like cook and eat and sleep?
Oh, that's so simple. You two, who are non-runners, I'm assuming, just judging by, you know.
our physiques, yes.
Yeah, your physiques. you can incorporate running into your daily life. It's really easy. For instance, you just talked about eating. Guess what I'm doing right now? It's called a burrito for a reason, guys.
Well, what reason would that be?
Well, if I have to explain it to you, you're obviously not runners.
So you have a burrito in your hand right now, and it seems to be hooked up to some sort of IV, which is then hooked up to some sort of catheter, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't want to waste any time.
The burrito is also on a stick that's dangling from your shoulders in front of your face.
That's true. Actually, I designed this stick. And you can buy it online. It's on Amazon right now.
Oh, wow. Does it have a particular name?
It's called The Hempson. That's my last name, in case you forgot.
We didn't forget.
No, we haven't had a chance to forget yet. But, Elliot, what an enlightening start. I feel the blood pumping through my veins. I'm ready to break out into a run. Let's hit our first segment, Fast and Furious.
Let's do it. That's At Long Last.
So, listeners, we're dusting off a cherished but not frequently implemented segment in a town where geography really does mean a lot. At Long Last is our chance to talk about the sort of geological, sociological makeup of a town and why it's interesting from a topological point of view. Mr. Hempson, maybe you could enlighten us. What is the geography like here in Seoul? And does the terrain sort of lend itself to any challenging points in the marathon?
That's a great question. First of all, I'd like to say that it's a great spot to vacation. It's a great spot to vacation. You have old growth forest, which we actually run through, which is so much fun. You do have to avoid the larger animals, but if you can't hack it, then you shouldn't be in the race.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm not sure you guys knew this, but we also have several lakes in Seoul, West Virginia. Huh. People don't know that. They talk about Minnesota or Michigan, but let me tell you something. Seoul, West Virginia has the deepest lake in Seoul.
It's got the deepest lake in Seoul. Seoul's got the deepest lake in Seoul, just to clarify.
Yeah, to clarify, it has the deepest lake in Seoul. Now, I hear you laughing a little bit, but there's so many lakes in Seoul, and they're all pretty deep, and I'm just saying that this is the deepest one.
It has many deep lakes, but it also has its own deepest lake.
It has its own deepest lake. So when you come and visit, listeners, just look up old Jared Hempson and I'll take you to that lake.
Usually Vince and I are the only two people that can address the listeners on the show, but
I'm sorry guys. You know what? I'm competitive. I apologize. I'm a competitive.
That's
guy.
All right. You're full of energy.
You're
going to
be hosting the show by the end of the episode, I'm sure.
It won't happen again. I promise you.
Jared, is it true that to differentiate yourselves from, let's say, triathlons or duathlons, you guys actually have to run to the bottom of the lake and cross the lakes as part of the course?
I'm going to get a little serious for a second. Please don't say the T word.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that blasphemy here?
You know, we just don't say the T word.
What's the T word in this town? Wait, I missed it, Elliot. Elliot, what's the T word?
It's triathlon.
Oh, my. Okay, yep, now I got it.
Look, to answer your question, it's a simple yes. We do run to the bottom of the lake, but it's a race, okay? It's a race. When you put fancy words in front of it, it takes away from the purity. So let's not say the T word again, okay?
Sure. So you guys don't want to muddy up running with any other sport. You think running is the most pure of the sports.
You understand me.
Of course I do.
What about Winter Olympics event where you like ski and then shoot at targets? Can you say that one? Or can I not say that one?
You know.
Can I not say other sports? I'm trying to be polite.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if that's allowed. Can I ask you a question?
No, you are encouraged. Our guests are encouraged to have an open dialogue with us, the hosts.
You know, I don't know if we got off at the on the wrong foot because you're obviously not a runner and you're in horrible shape. But
I mean, that's like the third time you've said that I'm obviously not a runner. I mean, you are right, but I don't think we need to be reminded another time is all I'm saying.
Okay, well,
to be fair, Vince, you are sitting in candy wrappers right now.
And sweating profusely, Elliot. Yes. Okay, I understand. And my sweat probably has a high amount of sugar in it.
Yeah, I feel that you might be mocking me. And is it because you would never be allowed to live in this town because you can't run? And if it is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but
No, Jared Hempstead, I must be the one to apologize. I didn't mean to needle the multi-sport can't be mentioned policy here. It's really out of character for me. Allow me to backtrack.
You probably shouldn't be mentioning needles either. I just want to point out.
Well, I just can't seem to not step in it today, guys. Why don't I let you, Elliot, lead, and then I'll draft behind you and try to get my legs back under me.
Sounds good, Jared. I want to ask about a particular geological feature that you guys are passing through lap over lap. There's a very ancient bridge in town with, I'm told, a troll that you have to answer a few riddles before you cross that bridge every single lap. Is that true?
You have done your homework. I'm very impressed.
We like to come. We like to come prepared to the town.
Yes, that's the Oak. That's the Oak Ridge Bridge, and the troll's name is Tuna. Don't say tuna. It's Tuna.
Tuna.
Very good.
And what sort of riddles are you answering in order to cross the bridge?
Oh, these are ancient riddles. Apparently, this troll came from Ireland, and he likes to ask a lot of questions about the color green. So there's a little hint for you if you ever find yourself on that bridge.
Elliot, I don't know if you recall, but we drove in over that bridge. First of all, beautiful bridge. And our question, I feel like he fired a softball at us because we were sort of out of towners, but it was, what is the combination of yellow and blue?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a classic. excuse me, did you say you drove over that bridge?
Yeah, we must have gotten off piste a little bit, and we ended up driving on the running route just for a second before we were able to get back to the road. Is that a faux pas of some sort?
Oh, boys. Boys, 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 boys. Well, let's just make sure you take the alternative route when you leave, okay? Oh my!
I'm suddenly very nervous and anxious. That was a lot of boys said in one.
Well, it's not like you left your doors unlocked when you drove over the bridge, right? It's not like you had your doors unlocked.
I mean, we're actually missing the passenger side door on the RV currently.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay, well, after this, I'm going to go check and make sure that Tuna is still under that bridge, because he's always looking for an exit. He's always looking for an exit.
Was he cursed there and is stuck there?
That is absolutely what happened. That is absolutely what happened.
It's the only logical explanation, Elliot.
It's an ancient bridge, and it's an ancient curse.
Well, it won't be the first time we've had to burn the RV, so.
That's very true. You know, our insurance company will barely pay for us to get the wheel of an RV now, let alone an entire one. So hopefully we're okay.
Our monthly premium is the cost of an RV.
Wow. Okay.
May I ask you a quick question about the color green?
Oh, jeez. Wait.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-oh. What's happened? Did you hear that, Jared? Did you hear that?
Of course I heard that. Of course I heard that. I know that voice anywhere.
What color are cucumbers?
I mean, wait, do not
answer that question. This is a trick question. This is a trick question.
I'm not sure if it's as trick as you think.
I know you're the expert, but I'm not certain that it is a trick question.
It is absolutely a trick question. The answer, Tuna,
yes,
is off green. Nice try. That is off green.
Oh, my power. Escaping my body. No.
You see.
He's running away back to the bridge.
Oh, thank God.
You did it, Jared. You did it.
Yes, thank you. You see, I'm sure one of you would have just said green, and you would have been wrong.
And that's why we're not runners. We don't know these things.
We don't know the tricks about answering the riddles about green things. That's why we're not runners.
Vince, I feel like we should be answering a couple other riddles, maybe from our listeners.
Great idea, Elliot. Let's go to a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guest about questions you have about whatever town we're in. Each week on the air, we read three. And Vince, Jared, I've got the first one.
Elliot, take it away.
This one comes from Anton Thermidopoulos in Athens, Greece. Wow.
Whoa, an international question. We always love when we get these. It's a rare treat.
Wow. So Anton says, guys, I'm a huge fan of the show. And I'm a huge fan of running, so I'm very glad you're in Seoul, West Virginia. Even we Greeks know about Seoul, West Virginia. Wow, that is a huge compliment, I'm sure, Jared.
You should be very proud.
Oh, yes. We all love the Greeks.
So Anton says that we all know. We love them. Anton says that we all know, I'm sure, that the myth of the first marathon is that a warrior ran all the way back to Athens to declare a victory of a battle against Persia. He screamed out Nike, collapsed, and died. That's a pretty widely known myth, and that's why people in marathons run 26.2 miles. But he was wondering, what is the story of the first ultra marathon? Maybe Jared could enlighten us about it.
What a great question.
That is a...
That's great. That's great. Historical, factual.
It's got it all.
It's great.
That is a great question. So I'm not sure if you knew this, but the first ultra marathon took place in what is now known as Nigeria. That's in the continent of Africa, in case you didn't know.
Our great-grandfather was in... Okay, continue, please.
Okay. Anyways, it took place in what is now known as Nigeria. And what happened was, one of the villages that was actually, I believe, historians have calculated it out to be 75 miles away. One of these villages was experiencing a drought. So this other town, which is unpronounceable, they had access to a lot of water. They too had a deep lake, actually. And what happened was
the deepest lake in that town.
Absolutely. I was going to say it, but you finished my sentence for me. So thank you.
Now I'll pass the baton back to you to finish this.
Thank you. The men of this town each grabbed a bucket. Of course, it wasn't called a bucket back then, but they grabbed a vessel.
No.
They probably had their own African word for it, too. They did.
That, too, is an unpronounceable word. And what they did was they dipped these vessels into the water, and they would run back and forth, putting water onto this arid, dry land of their neighbors 75 miles away, and they allowed that village to thrive.
Did they ever run out of water of their own?
No, because at this point in time, it rained a lot in what is now known as Nigeria.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Except for the brief area around this very dry town, it rained.
Exactly. Was that not clear? I thought that was clear.
It was crystal clear.
Thank you, Vince.
No, I didn't realize it was taking place eons ago when it was very rainy in Nigeria. But that clears it up. And so every year when people do ultra marathons, or in your case, for many, many years, you are paying homage to this original town.
It is in the forefront of my mind. Little secret, I actually pretend that I'm in Nigeria when I'm running.
Is that your secret?
I have many secrets, one of which we already discussed, the burrito.
And the lack of numbers, no numbers.
Yes. Vince, I feel that you're starting to understand me.
I think I'm falling in line. I think I'm getting in step with you.
Thank you. But yes, it helps to imagine that one is in a completely different location when running.
Interesting.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you, but I think we definitely cleared that up. Hopefully, Anton, you are as enlightened as we are. And that leads us, I think, Vince, to our next question.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say, I know you said this wasn't allowed, but I'd just like to say thank you, Anton.
Hey, I believe we said it was allowed and encouraged. It usually doesn't happen.
Okay. That makes sense that I'm starting something new then.
We've had problems in the past with our guests trying to usurp our roles as hosts. For several weeks at a time, a couple of years ago, one guest was actually the host of the show, and we had to fight him for it.
I told you, Elliot, it was a bad idea to go to that pirate-based town.
Oh, wow. Well, I bet if you guys started getting in better shape, that your guests probably wouldn't do that.
I feel like that wasn't even, like, related. All right, I won't push back.
He did. He challenged us to a race, and we lost miserably. I can't remember, Vince, maybe actually you challenged him to a race. Maybe I'm remembering that.
And he had one pegged leg, and he still beat us by a very wide margin. I've got the next question for us, though.
Great.
And this one comes from Shirley in Fort Lauderdale, Texas.
Fantastic. Thanks for writing, Shirley.
Shirley says, I'm a huge fan of movies. She's gone so far as to write this on little Polaroid pictures, like from the DVD cover of Memento. So this is a series of sort of non-sequitur Polaroids that she's written on the back of. And it says, I'm a huge fan of movies. I love movies that have to do about running. Well, I feel like we accidentally set her up for this earlier in the episode. And she goes on to say, some of my favorites include Running Man and that movie about the guy with the mustache who ran a lot in the Olympics.
You're talking about Prefontaine, I believe.
That's exactly right. Yeah. She apparently loves the movie, but has forgotten the title of the movie.
Which is unfortunate because these Polaroids are pictures of things that she's tattooed on her body. So.
Wow. Yeah, I think she may have a recollection issue. That said, her final Polaroid reads, but my favorite all-time running-based movie was actually set in Seoul, West Virginia, which is why I write. It's called Deliverance. Please, if you could do me a favor, talk about it for a little while.
That is pretty unfortunate. We brought up a lot of movies that had to do with running, and fortunately, Deliverance is not one of them. Jared, do you get this a lot in the town?
People asking me about the movie Deliverance?
Yes.
It seems to happen to us a lot, so maybe you can relate as well.
That movie gave us a really bad reputation and severely damaged people wanting to come in and visit here because they're afraid to go into those old growth forests that I talked about earlier.
Well, with tuna trying to ask you so many riddles, anyone would be afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Is it just me, or are the riddles not actually that frightening? I'm getting off topic. Please continue.
Anyways, I personally enjoy the movie because it's just a movie. It's just a movie. It's interesting that's... She could have said Run, Lola, Run. Another great movie, but...
She could have. She could have. It's a shame that she didn't think of that when she was writing the running-based movies.
She could have talked about any Tom Cruise movie. Tom Cruise is always running in all of his movies. That's why he's my favorite actor.
That's built into all of his contracts, is that he has to have at least 4 running scenes in the movie.
It actually is. And he has a wonderful stride. I don't know if you actually pay attention to his stride in the movies, but it's a beautiful stride.
Very short, low to the ground. Yeah, very even pace.
It's another secret of mine. When I'm running, not only do I pretend that I'm in Nigeria, but I also pretend that I'm an African Tom Cruise.
Wow, you have such unique methods. And even though Shirley was just a little bit off in her knowledge of films, I want to say it led us to a great discussion. And wait, guys, Prefontaine, Oregon University, the colors are yellow and green.
Are you implying
True.
That...
Oh, no.
...that Tuna is actually Prefontaine?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, whoa.
There always seems to be some strange non sequitur revelation that comes sort of about tangentially from these questions about Deliverance. So it's really strange.
I'm freaking myself out. And I think before we freak out anymore, Jared, do you have the next question for us?
Yes, let me look for it. Okay. This next question comes from, I believe you pronounce it Anjane. Beautiful name, beautiful name. This comes from Anjane in Seattle, Washington.
Love Seattle. Thanks for writing, Anjane.
It's a great running state. It's a great running state. Nike. Anyways, Anjane writes, is it true that once you start running, your body becomes so in shape that you can do anything? And anything is in all caps. That's a great question. That's a great question.
I'm going to request a totally unrelated handwriting sample from you, Jared. Until then, go ahead and read Anjanae's letter.
Read it again, Vince, or
answer the question.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You're one step ahead of me, Jared.
I'm sorry about that. Well, let's talk about the word anything, guys. I believe that running makes you a better human being. For instance, I'm better than Vince. Well, that's obvious because I run. I also believe that I can do anything better than Vince. So I guess the answer to this question is a resounding yes. Yes, Anjanae. Once you run, you start gaining the confidence to pretty much do anything you put your mind to. So thank you for that question.
I'm a little wounded that you felt the need to mention me by name on multiple occasions, but I understand the point you were making.
I think it helps give us a little context. Listeners can't see Jared, obviously, and they probably have a mental image of you, Vince, you know, a marginally out of shape guy who spends all of his time in an RV. So they want to envision the logistical leap that running allows you to do anything better than someone like you.
Elliot.
Yes.
I don't want to be that guest again, but you said Vince was marginally out of shape. And, I just don't think we should just be honest and say, you know, Vince is out of shape.
Yeah, I was trying to lighten the blow a little bit. He is my brother and I do have to spend a lot of time with him. Okay. But I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Your words, not mine.
As my physician puts it, she doesn't want to sugarcoat it because then it would be much too much like most of the things that I eat.
It's too appetizing.
That's right.
Hold on a second. Vince?
Yes.
You look like that in front of a woman? You said she. You're comfortable taking your clothes off in front of a woman?
She's my physician. I don't have a choice. Jared, I feel like you're making it sound like I'm some sort of bloated grotesque.
Well, in the town of Seoul, West Virginia, you, again, like I said, you wouldn't be allowed to live here because we have rules.
Yeah, if you're over 0% body fat, you're immediately considered obese in the town.
How many zeros percent body fat is that? Oh, just zero. Oh, I see. Okay, I understand. Then yes, of course.
Yes, just the one zero, not multiple zeros trailing a number.
Second number. Maybe we should move on to the next segment before my insecurities completely overwhelm me.
That sounds great. We've talked a lot about health, and health stems from activity. It stems from also food. And listeners, I think it's time for Elliot's Eats.
A really inappropriately timed segment, given the most recent criticisms of me. But at least in this segment, my brother investigates the food in a given town, the towns that we're visiting. And it's often healthy choices because my brother is a very healthy, conscientiously minded eater.
I can tell.
Thank you for saying that, Vince. I am a vegan, everyone, and my quest for the ultimate health food never stops, even in small town America. I want to show you that even if you're traveling in towns that aren't major metropolitan areas, you can still eat healthy. And what healthier place is there than Seoul, West Virginia? Jared, I'm sure there are so many different places you like to eat. A lot of ultra marathoners prescribe to the methodology of eating what you want when you want it. You're converting sugars and calories to straight energy. And because of this, a lot of different restaurants and food establishments have popped up along your route. So can you talk about some of them?
This is true. Obviously, one of my favorite restaurants just serves burritos. And my favorite is actually, you could eat it. You could eat this burrito. It's simply a black bean burrito with onion and tomato. It's delicious. And like you said, you just convert it instantly to pure energy. It's great. Another restaurant, interesting enough, I think Anton will like this. It's a Greek restaurant. It's called the Parthenon. Yeah, that's a cute name. It's called the Parthenon, and they serve a lot of different Greek cuisines, but my favorite is the raw calamari.
That's Greek?
Yes, Elliot, it is Greek. Calamari is found all over Greece.
Oh, interesting.
I hear it's difficult to eat the raw calamari.
Well, for you, it would be, Vince.
I'm not sure what that even means.
Well, like I said, I don't know if you remember Anjanae's letter and the anything in all caps, but once you start running, eating is pretty much the least difficult thing you can do. So eating raw calamari for me is like eating butter. But for you, I'm sure it would be like eating leather or something like that, because your mouth is so weak.
Especially pointed and strange criticism there. But I want to point out a few eating-related factoids that appear in your bio here. So go ahead and sort of expound on these for the listeners, if you don't mind.
Will do.
It says here you can eat a grapefruit in one bite.
Oh, I've been doing that since I was 13 years old. Yeah. And interesting enough, the peel is where the nutrients are. I didn't know if you knew
really? That.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
To a grapefruit as well. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Vince, you know what nutrients are, right?
Next question. Okay. It says here that you haven't had a bowel movement in 13 years.
The thing about bowel movements is you only have bowel movements when your body is weak and it wastes all the vitamins and nutrients that you take in. Now, when you're an ultra runner, Vince, you don't need to have bowel movements.
Body is just using every possible thing to convert to energy.
Elliot, you get it. Once again, your body becomes so efficient that it eliminates the need for a bowel movement. Now, you urinate like crazy because you're always taking in water. So you're constantly urinating. I'm pissing right now. But
that's how the trail is marked, actually.
Good. And it keeps those large animals in that old growth forest away. You are getting it. So, yes, Vince, to answer your question, I have not had a bowel movement in a very long time. But I bet you have one at least three times a day looking at you.
My physician has assured me that that's normal amount of bowel movements to have. That said, I've got one more eating factoid here. It says that sometimes you'll eat raw grass and then regurgitate it to chew it up again, much like a cow will do.
Is that a question? Or
I'm only seeking to verify. These things seem bizarre to someone as flabby and unathletic as I. But I was hoping if you could sit, like, tell us how that feels.
It feels great. The first portion is you chew the grass and you kind of liquefy it. And then that goes down your throat and your body obviously takes those nutrients in. But then you need to spit it out. And then you look at it in your hand and you just look at it for a while and you put it back into your mouth. And then this time you macerate until it's just almost like a pudding, and then you take the rest of the nutrients in.
That was much more graphic and thorough than I expected, so thank you. Do you have any tips for eating on the run?
Yeah, and forgive the pun, but we say just do it.
I've never heard that before. Did you just call it?
Let me tell you something, Elliot. I know that you said that joking around, but Nike likes to send people to this town and they pretend like they're reporters or just passing through, and they take so many slogans that we, the great townspeople of Seoul, West Virginia, just say. They've taken so many sayings from us. So yes, just do it was taken.
I've seen along the route, if you see a guy in sort of like a 1930s era blazer and a fedora and a big camera with a light bulb on it, those are the Nike reporters trying to capture all of their different slogans. And then they say, I've got a scoop that they hear something worth noting.
Saps, you have done your homework. God, I'm impressed with you, Elliot. God.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I think you might be impressed a little bit more by the food establishment that I ventured into this week.
Okay.
I know that as a runner, you want to be as efficient as possible with everything, even your eating. And so the place I went to was called Goobars, and they will take anything that you forage along your run and turn it into either a goo or a bar for you to ingest.
Yeah, isn't that a great concept? I personally have never had the bar portion. I always go for the goo.
Why do you have a preference for the goo?
Well, the goo is more liquid, and liquid is just more efficient once it enters your body. It's quicker. You know, the bar takes a little bit longer. But I've heard the bar, don't get me wrong, I've heard the bar is delicious. What do you have, Elliot?
I foraged some berries and an old shoe that fell off of someone, and they made it into a delicious bar. And I find that if you're chewing something for long enough, it almost gives you something to do while you're running.
Elliot, are you a runner?
Well, I don't want to brag. You know, sometimes Vince leaves me behind, or maybe he won't put the parking brake on in the RV, and I have to run to catch up for it. So I've ended up running long distances just trying to correct Vince's mistakes is what it ultimately amounts to.
Elliot, I think you know as well as I do, as well as we both do, that you insist on me leaving without you, and then you say, I can run faster than a vehicle, and then you run away ahead of me, and I have to come find you and catch up to you.
That's also true.
Remind me, refresh me of what I'm supposed to do. We've got there's a young boy here in a straw hat yelling, extra, extra, read all about it, Dewey beats Truman. Am I supposed to shoo him away, or just not say any sayings around him?
I don't think have we said any amazing catchphrases in the past couple minutes that he's been here.
Okay, you can just shoo him. You can just shoo him.
I'm shooing him. All right, get out of here.
Wow, and just from kicking him away and shooing him, Vince, you are in a cold sweat right now.
God.
It's the hammies, Elliot. My hammies are acting up.
So I think that maybe now is not the best time, but it's the only time that we have to get into our fastest segment of all, Vince.
That's right. We call it, Did You Know?
So, listeners, Did You Know is our weekly rapid-fire fast fact segment where we fire five facts at you from wherever town we are in. This week, obviously, we have five, and Vince and Jared, I have the first one.
Let's hear it.
We've talked a lot about Nike lately, but guys, did you know that even though Nike is synonymous with running, a different shoe was invented here that is synonymous with ultramarathon running?
I didn't know this, Elliot. What shoe is this?
Well, I see Jared's wearing them right now. It's called the McGinty. And of course, Nike was originally made by putting shoes on a waffle iron, and that's how they got their distinctive traction. The McGinty was made by putting shoes on a George Foreman lean, mean, fat, reduce, and grilling machine. And that's how they got their distinctive tread. So, Jared, how do you like them?
How do I like a McGinty?
Yeah.
The McGinty makes the Nike look like a sock. I don't know if you guys knew that. The McGinty, if I could, I would surgically cut my own feet off and then have them replaced with the McGinty. It's an extension. It's an extension of who I am. So that's how I feel about the McGinty.
That is high praise.
Absolutely.
Do you know McGinty, the inventor of this, and his methodology?
Well, like you said, they used the George Foreman grill. McGinty was, well, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but McGinty used to be known as the town kook. Until he did what he did with that George Foreman grill, and now he lives up on the hill. I don't know if you seen in the distance, there's that giant mansion up on the hill. That's McGinty Manor.
Oh yeah, wow. Window right now, the RV.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, that's the mansion that the McGinty built.
It's in the shape of a giant shoe. I should have put that together.
It is in the shape of the giant shoe. Good. But yes, the McGinty's great. I'll get you a pair, Elliot.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, can I get a pair too, Jared?
You're funny, Vince.
All right. I've got the next Did You Know for you. Did you know that if a runner breaks his or her leg during the ultramarathon here in Seoul, they just put them down, they just shoot you?
Wow, that seems very morbid.
Oh, no, it's a good death. We call it the good death.
It's only happened one time, if I'm reading the history books correctly.
Oh, you're speaking about Ted. You're speaking about Ted. Yeah, it did happen one time.
To clarify, Ted wasn't a human participant. Ted was a Clydesdale horse, right?
Absolutely. But he was a great horse. 15 hands, actually. 15 hands.
It's a lot of hands. It's a real tragedy.
It is. But we erected that statue of Ted, and it makes me feel good every time I pass it.
It's a fine statue.
And I've heard that because people don't want to get shot, obviously, if you break your leg, you're just supposed to sit down and you almost become a landmark of the course. And so a lot of people just say, oh, no, I'm fine. Just resting. Keep going. And they've been out there for years.
They absolutely have. And, you know, I like to bring them foods every once in a while, much like those ancient Nigerians brought water. I like to bring them food when I'm passing by.
Well, it's very altruistic of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if you would give us something, do you have the next Did You Know fact?
Did you know that the town of Seoul, West Virginia, has the most cement of any other town in the United States of America? Did you know that?
I had no idea.
No, I did not know that.
Are you using cement to pave the course, or what are you using the cement for?
Well, just like we're constantly running, the town is also constantly laying cement, which means we're actually constantly expanding. I bet you didn't know that. The town of Seoul, West Virginia, is constantly growing. It's getting bigger and bigger.
So does that mean that inherently the ultra marathon will get longer and longer?
Once again, Elliot, you get it. You get it. God.
Man, you flatter me way too much, Jared. And it's great because I'm constantly put down by Vince. It's horrible. And I just want to say that if it was up to me, I would move here and stop the podcast immediately.
Thank you, Elliot. Did you say that Vince puts you down?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. But, you know, with my dietary choices, you know, they're not as accustomed around most of the parts that we visit as they are in these parts.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. You know what I'm going to do, Elliot? I'm going to offer you an open invitation that when you finally decide that you want to move here and get your life started as an ultramarathoner, you're more than welcome to come here alone.
Wow. By yourself. I will point out that the ultramarathon in Seoul is for invitation only.
Yes. You officially have one, Elliot. You officially have one.
I feel like Charlie and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and Vince is one of the bedridden grandparents in that film.
I would have said an Oompa Loompa, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm just happy you both had the decency to avoid a Violet Beauregard remark. All right, Elliot, why don't you hit us with the next did you know, please?
I will, guys. Did you know in Seoul, West Virginia, there are regulations for the type of running shorts that you wear?
Oh, that seems reasonable. What sort of things are regulated about them?
Well, as the ultramarathon has progressed, obviously running technology has progressed over the years with it. And the regulation is that your running shorts, if you're a man, have to be short enough that your balls are actually hanging out of the bottom.
Yes, it's called the testicle test.
So I'm not sure, is this more efficient, or I don't know how this came about.
Well, when you run that long, I don't know, you wouldn't know this, Vince, but when you run that long, your testicles heat up and it can become very dangerous. So you want your shorts to be short enough that when you're running, the air cools them off.
That does explain the town motto, Seoul, first in mobility, last in motility.
That's exactly it, Vince.
I have to say, I would compliment your shorts, but we've erected, even though, poor choice of words, it's a radio program, a little sort of a blurry screen to sort of censor. Not that we're not pro-censorship, but it is a family show. And so anyone listening at home, rest assured, if your children are listening, the testicles on our guest are blurred out currently.
It's a good thing.
I'm sure they're fine testicles, but you understand our need to cater to a wide audience.
I absolutely understand, and they're great testicles, Vince. They're great testicles.
You know, typically I would come back with another did you know, but actually, Jared, why don't you do the honors and do one more did you know for us so you can finish the race that is a These Parts episode.
Absolutely.
Let's just say Vince isn't the quickest and his mind isn't the sharpest either. So, Jared, you got to pick up the slack once again.
Okay, well, did you know that when a townsperson in Seoul, West Virginia passes away, that the entire town carries the casket outside to the graveyard? The graveyard is actually located outside of Seoul, West Virginia, about 20 miles away. And the town gets together and we each kind of get on the side and we run the casket to this graveyard.
So it's almost like a funeral procession.
It's exactly like, and it's a beautiful sight. And I tell you what, Elliot, if you move here, you're going to see it. It'll bring tears to your eyes.
This is an elaborate hoax to kill me, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. I like you.
Okay. I'll be observing this. I won't be participating in it by being in the casket, is what you're saying.
Insert joke about not needing an elaborate hoax to kill me. You just send me on up a flight of stairs or something, right, guys? Ha ha.
That's a good one, Vince.
You said it, Vince.
I think you can just use that one.
Let's be honest, Vince. It wouldn't take a flight of stairs. I could just send you to go get the mail.
All right. Okay. Well, on that note, I think we should probably wrap this thing up.
I agree, Vince. And that's in a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So, listeners, in a perfect world, you would join Elliot and I on all of our adventures, even to pompous, self-actualizing towns like Seoul, West Virginia. But that's not the case. So instead, we send you an audio postcard, something from us to you to show that we're thinking of you. It goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Seoul, West Virginia.
Home to a diehard running community and an ultra marathon that has spanned 4 years.
Town where our friend, our guest, Jared something or other, runs for a long time and is great at it.
A town where my ego hasn't been bolstered this much in I don't even know how long.
Mine's been flattened much like a burger on a George Foreman Mean Green grilling machine.
A town where you should hopefully know some facts about running and the color green.
And a town where no matter where you run, you can't hide from Tuna the troll.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks for joining us while we were in Seoul, West Virginia. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you join us again next week when we're in Vigilante, Ohio.
Vigilante, Ohio is a town overrun by hero vigilantes looking to take back the streets and their villain counterparts. The town already had the lowest crime rate in the nation before these vigilantes donned their costumes and alter egos, however, it should be a fun episode.